reading of the healing of the demoniac and in the church today, often is taken as an image of our state prior to uniting our life to Christ in baptism, and then after the healing of the demoniac, sitting at our right mind in Jesus' feet, and what gives us, given to us in our baptism. There's a little bit of an image of this really given in today's epistle. St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he said, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but now you're alive in Christ. So there's this sort of stark contrast between our life apart from Christ and our life united to Christ. It's a very profound change, which is available to each and every one of us, but also we can sort of get maybe discouraged by it because we also seem to continue to struggle with the demons. We don't often take time just to be in the right mind sitting at Christ's feet. In its original context of our Lord going to this town and healing this demoniac, it was really first and foremost not an image of our baptism, but a proclamation, a evidence, a sign that Jesus was the Messiah and that he had power over all of the forces of this world, including the demonic forces. Satan, Jesus tells us, is the god of this world, and the world is fallen and bound by the chains that Satan places on it. And our Lord comes to show the people that he himself is the one who has power over Satan. It's not like many of the philosophies in ancient times, that good and evil are two eternal principles, and there's this eternal battle between good and evil, good God and bad God, like in Gnosticism and Manichaeism. This is just the state of our life, of our world. There'll always be this struggle. But our Lord comes to say, no, that's not how it is. And maybe the most foundational point about the Orthodox doctrine of creation out of nothing is that ultimately, in the very end, in the final analysis, God is the only true reality, and everything else is made by him. Everything else owes its substance and existence to him. There's no eternal evil principle. God is good, fully powerful, not limited in any way, infinite. So Jesus comes to proclaim that, to show that, to reveal that. But it might be easy for us to focus on the demoniac and think of Satan having bound him with this legion of demons, and that's the focal point of the story. But really, it's clear that the story is just as much about the townspeople, the people of the region from the city and the countryside, that are clearly afraid of this man, bind him in chains, don't know what to do with him. And then when he's healed by Jesus, they don't know what to do with that either. They're still bound by their fear. And if there's one thing that we know from the scriptures, for example, from Hebrew, from the book of Hebrews, is that Satan operates by fear. Ultimately, the fear of death, fear of threats to our lives, to our livelihood, to our well-being, to our ability to control and have some kind of security in this world. Satan operates by fear. This is his modus operandi. And fear in us brings about a distance. It encourages us to keep our distance, to, as it were, demonize the other people and set ourselves off in a comfortable little city, a community all by ourselves, and the bad guys are over there, the ones that we're afraid of. We don't often admit that we're afraid of them, but we think they're bad guys, and so we put them over there and separate ourselves from them. And so fear becomes this way in which we divide ourselves from one another. And the word devil, the ugly, is the divider, the one who divides us. And you can see in this community there was this division. The townspeople and the guy they didn't know what to do with, the guy they were afraid of, the guy they couldn't control. So this is how it operates in our world too. Our world is filled with fear. And fear is not obvious in public ways. We're afraid of the Republicans and we're afraid of the Democrats. We're afraid of President Trump and Vice President Biden. We're afraid of the Supreme Court. We're afraid of the coronavirus. We're afraid of masks and we're afraid of no masks. We're afraid to vote and we're afraid not to vote. We're afraid of forest fires and hurricanes and climate change and people who are environmentalists. And we're afraid of everybody. We're afraid of, most of all, what other people think of us. We're afraid of not being accepted by other people. We're afraid that we somehow don't have control over our lives in an increasingly insecure world. And this fear that really is so open, blatant, visible in our world today is resulting in these divisions and arguing and fighting and blaming and casting dispersions and calling each other names and separating ourselves from one another. It's really just the evidence of Satan, driven by his fear, is putting these things in the world in which we are afraid of, that instantiate themselves in another person, so we can be afraid of that person or this group. And we can find bad things to say about them and demonize them and lock them up in chains and put them in the tombs and strip them of their clothes, expose them for what rotten people they are. Very dangerous, very destructive. But our Lord comes to our situation every bit as much as he came to the community. Gennesaret. He comes to our situation and he enters that realm and that world of fear with his profound love. And he heals. He heals not only the demoniac who was an outcast, who was the bad guy. He heals it not only from his demons, but the imagery of casting the demons into the slime and the slime running down into the water is really an image of Christ conquering our passions. The slimes are the defilement, the passions of our life, and they're conquered by our Lord every bit as much as the demons are conquered by our Lord. The Messiah comes to set the world right. And so he enters this world of fear and separation and distancing and accusations to bring a kind of peace and a calm. And when the townspeople come out to sort of see for themselves what has happened and to see the profound transformation that's taken place in this man that they were afraid of, they're still afraid. Which is a profound revelation that their fear in them didn't really have anything to do with him. They're just people who are bound by fear. Fear of being exposed. Fear of what's inside of them, not what's outside of them. Not of what's attacking me, but what's in me. Not attacking me from the outside, but as it were, attacking me from the inside. My own insecurities, my own need for approval and affirmation of people. My own fear of being exposed. People might find out what I'm really like, who I really am. So they remain in fear, even though when their object of fear has been healed, removed from any kind of threat to them. because the real source of their fear wasn't outside. And so it is with us. All of the people and groups that we want to demonize and put off over there and put in chains, they're not really the source of our fear at all. The source of our fear is within us, unwilling to be exposed, unwilling to be transparent, unwilling to, as it were, confess, to agree with God about what's inside of us, to let God's light shine into the darkness of our own souls. We feel more comfortable when we can control the world by having a separation between the good guys and the bad guys. Our life is a little bit turned upside down if Jesus comes in and breaks down that barrier, because then we realize that my problems are no longer attributable to these other people, these outside forces. Jesus longed to cast out the demons and the passions, the fear of the townspeople every bit as much as he longed to heal the demoniac. And we can see that this is so because when the young man healed and in his right mind wants to follow Jesus, understandably so, Jesus says, no. Go back into the town. All of these people that have been afraid of you all of this time, go back into the town and tell them what God did for you. They already saw. They already know. They're here. Why do you have to go tell them again? Because he has to live among them. Just like Jesus had to enter this realm of fear, he sent this man back into this realm of fear so that he could be a living witness to perfect love casting out all fear. That our problems are not outside of us, but inside of us. And that God's love, God's light penetrates inside of us to heal us, to cleanse us, to cast out the demons, to overcome the passions. I don't know if history is recorded for us what came of that town, whether anybody came to believe in the witness of the healed demoniac. But it's always the case that the change in people's lives is dependent in part on the freedom that God grants them. God will not force himself upon us to such a degree that he takes away our free will, our openness to respond to him. We can live in our fear if we want, and we can have our fear allow us to keep our distance from other people and from Christ himself. So, I don't know what happened to the townspeople, but I know that by Christ sending this man in to live among them, he reveals to us that he is relentless in his love for us. He was, as St. Paul calls himself in the letter to the Corinthians, this man was an ambassador for Christ, reconciling the world to him. He was sent out into these people who were so in need of love and transparency, the light of Christ to shine into their lives. So this is the gospel for today, that Satan, our passions, do not have any ultimate authority over us. Only Christ does. But Christ won't act without our freely receiving his love and light into our lives. So we resist blaming, accusing, distancing ourselves from others out of this fear, and we enter into this willingness to let Christ invade our lives and be exposed, to truly be exposed before God, because that's the only way we can be healed. And then, by his grace and with his strength, giving just maybe a hint of our right-mindedness, to be sent out into this world with that same love. This world is very filled with fear, that we can be be sent out with that same love that he has for us, and to be a witness of that to others, a conduit, one who can share this love that casts out all fear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.